Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
One of the concerns that we've had and that we've been speaking about is the potential use of chemical or biological warfare weaponry in Ukraine. We were speaking about the possibility that Russia would create a false flag event and claim that Ukrainians had in fact used these weapons and use that as a pretext to become a little bit more aggressive. We wanted to understand what that means. What are chemical warfare? What are chemical weapons? And what are biological weapons? Is there a difference between the two? Mariana Bujarin, who is a global fellow with the Wilson Center for Nuclear Proliferation International History Project. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So first of all, let's just start with the basics. What is the difference between chemical warfare and biological warfare?
So let me start with the similarity.
Okay.
Both chemical and biological weapons, just like nuclear weapons, are considered weapons of mass destruction by the international community. And therefore, well, at least chemical and biological warfare is banned, chemical under the Chemical Weapons Convention that revamped one of the, well, the oldest arms control treaty in the world, the mm-hmm. Geneva Convention, that emerged after World War One, and a war in which chemical weapons were used widely and were deemed terrible and barbaric and were banned. And since then, the international community tried to ban the use of these weapons and outlaw them. And the reason for that is because they are not discriminatory. They violate the basic principles of the conduct of warfare, where you're supposed to target only the combatants and not civilians. And it's very difficult to do with something like chemical or biological agents that just often are released into the atmosphere, and whoever happens to be in the vicinity gets affected. So these are the basic similarities. Now, biological weapons are essentially, these programs weaponize viruses and diseases mm. and toxins that are already sort of present, that already exist in the world. So things like anthrax and smallpox and things that we have tried to get rid of as human societies for a while to make our populations healthier. But a number of countries, including the Soviet Union, had a very large biological weapons program in its day, a program that was concealed and about which we knew nothing until the Soviet Union fell apart. Well, rather, you know, probably right. the spy agencies knew something, but right. it was not publicly Common. Declared yeah. like the nuclear weapons program in the Soviet Union. So those are biological weapons, and chemical weapons are various neurotoxins. We've seen something like a sarin gas that was used by the Bashar al-Assad's regime on his own people just, a decade or so ago. It's also various agents, nerve agents, such as the Novichok, that was used by the Russian Federation to poison its own defected spies in Salisbury. Recently. So we haven't really, apart from Syria, and World War One, and several other very few occasions, we haven't really seen the massive use of biological or chemical weapons. Luckily,
what we saw in Syria, is that Syrian? Would that have been from Russia? Is that cause for concern?
That was developed by the Syrian government I don't have enough information to say whether the Russian Federation had any hand in helping the regime develop these weapons, but we've seen an international campaign in which, the Russians cooperated as well as part of the Geneva Convention to remove those weapons and close those labs following the use of these chemical weapons in Syria. So that was deemed a rather successful campaign and was internationally recognized as so.
Right. In terms of the realistic danger here now, in terms of Russia and Ukraine, what do we know and how serious is the possibility that these weapons would be used in this conflict?
Well, you know, just 3 weeks ago, I would dismiss these claims as absolutely, you know, nonsensical and having absolutely no reason whatsoever to be made. But we have all been surprised in the last 3 weeks as to the extent the Russian Federation is willing to go and the pretext is willing to manufacture for something as inconceivable as a full-scale invasion of a neighboring sovereign state. So these statements emanating from Moscow really do concern me. The statements about, you know, biological weapons program in Ukraine, something that Russian officials know full well, is absolute and dangerous nonsense. The American government has cooperated with the Ukrainian government in actually securing some of these biological labs, things that most countries on Earth have to study disease and to be able to detect and prevent a spread of, you know, biological pathogen. So much of American work was within the biological threat reduction program that tried to secure these labs and make them safer to both operate for people who work there and for the population at large to prevent any sort of leaks. I mean, we've had conspiracy theories about COVID, right? So this is something like that to keep in mind, right? There are biological webs like in Wuhan, and there's always a concern that something might leak out into the population at large.
Well that was one of our listeners asking that question. If a biological weapon is used, can the agent continue to spread and replicate itself like COVID did?
So it depends. It depends on the agent. Something like smallpox, absolutely. we know what that looks like from history. Something like anthrax, less so. So it depends what is being weaponized. But it is generally recognized that any use of such weaponized pathogens would be extremely reckless and extremely dangerous, and it is banned, right? You can't use biological weapons internationally. And then that's about the biological. The chemical part of it, the Russian Federation again knows very well that there's no chemical weapons program. There isn't you know, any labs developing these kind of things other than, you know, whatever industrial chemical facilities that produce things for the industry. So again, why would it resort to making these such atrocious statements? You know, it's anyone's guess, but I certainly don't see anything positive coming out of that.
What about these phosphorus bombs?
So phosphorus bombs, the white phosphorus is not specifically banned under the Chemical Weapons Convention. If it's used in maneuvers, for instance, to create smoke to cover, you know, the movement of troops, your own troops or something like that. But if it is used specifically to target you know, population or even military targets, then it would fall under the Chemical Weapons Convention. It's been debated right now, but it's safe to assume that if it is widely used in warfare, then it would be in breach of the Chemical Weapons Convention.
So, in a nutshell, whereas you might have been less concerned a number of weeks ago, today you are fairly concerned about the extent that Russia would go to in order to win this war, and you're not convinced, if I'm understanding you properly, that they wouldn't use it. Obviously, we can't say with any certainty whether they would or wouldn't, but the reality is you are more concerned than you were a number of weeks ago.
Absolutely. That's a fair summation. One thing that might be that might give us some hope is that in warfare, specifically biological, but also a lot of chemical agents have been found also to be quite impractical, especially in close combat on the field simply because you cannot control the spread of these agents to the troops that are fighting, you know, on your own side, that they might also be affected. And then to deliver them, you know, to targets far apart, you're risking, there's a risk of a missile, or the projectile being shot down and not reaching its targets. And again,
it's a very high risk game to be played, in other words.
Indeed.
All right. And unfortunately, that's all that we do have time for. Marianne Bergeron, Global Fellow at the Wilson Center's Nuclear Proliferation International History Project, bringing us some perspective and lots of information around chemical and biological warfare.